Today I want to talk to you about the relative impact a native and invasive ant have on hemipteran populations. First, I want to start with an overview of invasive ants. They all have this unifying characteristic of this ability to extirpate local ants and other arthropods out of the communities they invade, which causes moderate to severe reductions in biodiversity. They are often difficult to control, which leads to major economic and agricultural costs that compound their overall impact on these invaded communities. The invasive ant I want to talk about today is the Argentine ant, Linopithema humili. It's a global invader, particularly adept at invading Mediterranean climates around the world. It has a high affinity for sugary substances, especially hemipteran honeydew. Its U.S. counterpart, the odorous house ant, Tapenoma sessile, is also a major urban pest, especially in the northern U.S. It's very similar in behavior and ecology to the Argentine ant. Looking at a pairwise comparison table, they both can form large, robust colonies with multiple queens. They both share this high affinity for hemipteran honeydew. And if you look at the literature in the field, the Argentine ant has this ability to sustain higher hemipteran populations. And while this has been demonstrated in the Tapenoma genus, it's not clear whether or not the odorous house ant has this ability as well. And this brings us back to the point that one is ecologically dominant and the other one is not able to compete. And we concentrated our efforts on looking at how hemipteran populations are affected by these two ants, not just the ones that engage in mutualisms or myrmecophilic hemipterans, but also ones that do not engage in these mutualisms. So with these ideas in mind, we formulated the following hypotheses. We feel that with the mutualistic or myrmecophilic hemipteran populations, they will increase in the presence of both the ants, that non-myrmecophilic populations will decrease in both the ants. In other words, we assume that they're going to prey upon them. But the competitive edge that we believe is going to happen when we have the mutualistic hemipterans exposed to the Argentine ant, those populations will actually grow larger than those exposed to the odorous house ant. And this will facilitate a competitive edge in having a larger resource base. To test these hypotheses, we derived the following experimental unit in the lab. We had a small host plant for the hemipteran planted in soil. Then the ants were given a plaster nest in a petri dish covered with a tile, supplemented with water, protein in the form of freshly killed cockroaches, and a diet medium. Now, for each replicate, we had 100 worker ants and one queen, as well as 10 to 100 hemipterans on the host plant. Now, we've already talked about the odorous house ant and Argentine ant, and as the myrmecophile or the mutualistic hemipteran of choice, we used Aphis caspii, the cotton aphid on cotton plants, and as the non-myrmecophile, we used the green peach aphid, Mysis persici, on pepper plants. So the following trials were: the ants were exposed to green peach aphids only. Then the ants were exposed to cotton aphids only in another trial. And then we had a final trial where we had a combination. So in each replicate, we had a cotton plant and a pepper plant so that the ants actually had access to both hemipterans at the same time. Now, keep in mind that in each one of these trials, we used naive ants, so it wasn't the same ant colonies throughout. The experimental measures for all the trials were aphid number, where we counted the number of aphids on the plants, track that over time. We also measured ant activity, which included counting the individual ants on the plant at a given time every day and also tracking that over time. All of these measures were analyzed using a repeated measures analysis in SAS, followed by contrast statements of the treatments we wanted to compare. Now let me orient you with the graphs that are about to follow. I've included a picture of the actual measure, in this case the green peach aphid. So we're looking at green peach aphid populations over time, the number of aphids on the y-axis, and I'm also going to bold the treatments themselves when I'm comparing them. The first of which is the aphid populations in the presence of the Argentine ant versus control populations where no ants present. We did not see a change in the aphid number in this case. We did, however, see a significant decline with the populations in the presence of the odorous house ant versus the controls, as well as versus the populations in the presence of the Argentine ant. If we look at ant activity in the green peach aphid only trial, we do not see significant ant activity. That is, the number of ants over time was not greater than zero, nor was the number of ants different between the two ant species. And notice again, you're looking at the number of ants on the y-axis. Now we look at the cotton aphid trial. And as it probably jumps out to you, there's this very large increase in the mutualistic cotton aphid populations in the presence of the Argentine ant versus the controls, as well as versus those populations in the presence of the odorous house ant. There was no significant difference in the aphid numbers between the controls and the odorous house ant in the cotton aphid only trial. And as you notice, there's a decline in all the treatments over time. That was due to the cotton plants succumbing to the aphid pressure. And you'll notice that in another graph as well. Looking at the ant activity in the cotton aphid only trial, again, this is looking at the number of ants on the plants, we see a positive activity for both ant species, as well as a much higher ant activity for the Argentine ant. Now we're looking at green peach aphid populations again, except in the mixed trial, where you had in the same replicate two different aphid species. You had the mutualist and the non-mutualist. And the green peach aphid, again, remember, was the non-mutualist. And what was different from the trial we saw before was this significant decline in the green peach aphid populations in the presence of the Argentine ant. We repeated that trend with the populations in the presence of the odorous house ant. We saw that decline again as well. And the actual declines between the ant species of the aphids present were also significantly different. We saw the same kinds of trends we saw before with the cotton aphid populations in the mixed trial. We saw that increase again in the presence of the Argentine ant versus the controls, as well as the populations in the presence of the odorous house ant. And although we did see an increase in the aphid populations in the presence of the odorous house ant, it was not significant. Now we're looking at the ant activity for both the cotton plants and pepper plants in the mixed trial now. So this is a new set of data, but we see the same trends as we saw before. No significant ant activity on the pepper plants with green peach aphid, but we had high ant activity on the cotton plants with the cotton aphids, and there was a significantly higher ant presence for the Argentine ant on those treatments. So let's summarize all these graphs. We have in the green peach aphid only trial, there was no change in the aphid number in the presence of the Argentine ant, and we saw that decline with the odorous house ant. Cotton aphids only, we saw that large increase in aphid number for cotton aphids in the presence of the Argentine ant, no change for the odorous house ant. The mixed trial, though, when we have both aphids present in the same replicate, we saw a decline in the green peach aphid populations in the presence of both ants. We saw the same trends in the mixed study. An increase in the aphid number for the cotton aphid in the presence of the Argentine ant. Looking at all the ant activity for all the cotton plants and the cotton aphids, we had a positive for both ants. However, there was a much higher level of worker presence for the Argentine ant on cotton plants with cotton aphids. We didn't see any worker presence or detectable worker presence of on the green peach aphids at the pepper plants. I want to pull your focus on those mutualistic hemipterans. We saw that large increase in both trials when the cotton aphid was used and in the presence of the Argentine ant. And we believe we attributed this increase in those aphid numbers due to the ant activity, where we said that much larger ambient ant forager activity amongst the cotton aphids, we feel, may facilitate this increased growth within myrmecophilic aphid populations. So one of the implications we can draw from this is by being able to sustain higher aphid populations, the Argentine ant can provide a greater resource base to fuel population growth, which may be a key component in explaining this ant's invasive dynamics. And with that, I'll take questions at this time. In the back. No, that's a good point. With these and other experiments, we have introduced predators to see how well the ants defend. But in these treatments, we completely had all the predators removed in a laboratory setting to see what kind of effect that the ants had alone without the complications of predators in the field studies that we've seen in the literature. Yes?
Do you know if there's any qualitative differences between the honeydew of the two different aphids?
We're actually working on that right now as a part of this. This is a much larger study with lots of different caveats to it. We're looking at the honeydew itself, giving them choice tastes. We're also going to do a sugar analysis on the honeydew to see if there's any kind of component differences there. But so far, the preliminary data on the choice test, the ants just ignore the honeydew of the green peach aphid. So we're following up on that as well. Yes, Judy.
Do you have any idea what the mechanism is for the ants stimulating
Well, we feel that it's probably due to actual ant presence, and the aphids are able to, because in other studies they've looked at physiological effects of tending by the ants, and some of those have been the increased feeding, and that possibly can promote an increased reproduction. But we're still looking at the actual mechanisms. We've uncovered it. Now we need to figure out exactly how, what the nuts and bolts are with that interaction.
Any other questions? Thank you.